everybody. So it's just me today. Marna, sweet, sweet Marna. We were both going to do this today, but she's such a great daughter. Her mom got a little sick, so and actually was in the hospital. So that's where Marna is right now, is helping her mom, who's out of the hospital but still needs a little help. So anyway, you're stuck with just me. But we'll just know that, so if anything I say is dumb, that's the part. Had Marna been here, it would have been really smart, okay? So she, because she's like the gap filler. She knows how to fill in and make it all good, you know, so anyway. So today, kind of by request, what originally we were going to do was go way back to before Marna and Tad went to their journeys to Vanuatu, not the first couple of times, but I think after their... Well, they were here at Athey for a while. And during that season, Marna and I shared our first mom's groups, you know. So Judy had thought it would be neat for us to sort of give you a snapshot of that. And the funny thing is Marna and I were trying to figure out, so how does that work? Because some of you that were there would remember that Marna would share and then I would share. And it would be week by week, one person would share. And so we were like, how is this going to actually work out? Because it's going to be two of us. But now here we are. Well, just one. So it really is more like how it was in the old days than we ever really thought. So anyway, so now we're here. But what we're going to talk about today is child training, because that before, you know, we get to the end of this series that we've done, have, you know, we've started kind of backwards. And as you guys know, Jenny Manser is getting married tomorrow. So Paula's not here. She's getting ready in the sanctuary and stuff. But the whole focus of this session has been to try to work it into, especially the young mom's mind, that time does go by quickly. And before you know it, you know, you're seeing your daughter be handed over to a man who's then going to be her covering. And the idea behind starting backwards was that when you start out at the younger ages with being a young mom, as you're training your kids along the way, for them to not be foreign with really what I guess the world would call, you know, its own language, the Christian language. But it's a real thing. I mean, the word is really clear on what it should look like for us to have a covering as a husband. If you don't train your kids in that, then they're not going to know. And so when they start off on their dating or whatever, they might follow along the footsteps of what they see in the world as opposed to what the pattern scripture gives us. So that's been that whole idea, and I think most of you get that. So today is really just to go back a little bit to the earlier stages about training and what that looks like, and really some of the questions that come up along the way, like when do you start, you know, disciplining, and, you know, we'll get into that a little bit. But when I was praying about what to share, when I found out that Marna was going to ditch me, I thought, well, what we can do is, maybe just start by what does the word say? Because I feel like that's the main thing. If gals are led by the Lord, then that means the word's going to be a substantial part of your daily life. And you know, you're going to consider what does God say in his word. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Proverbs 22:6, because we're going to camp out just for a little while in Proverbs. Proverbs is so good, and I mentioned it earlier, I think, that, you know, you can take a proverb a day and drink a little coffee, and there you go. You have your outline for the day, usually. I mean, God is so faithful that in Proverbs you can grab some form of wisdom. You always need some kind of wisdom, and Proverbs is just, oh, such a great one. There's just no other book like it, I don't think, that is so pointed in giving you really direct insight. Just so good. And especially, it's been so helpful for me through the years when it comes to disciplining kids and just motherhood. What's that all about? And getting focused, you know, from the Lord. So Proverbs 22:6 says, and I have a couple different versions here, but I'm going to read today, so you know, from the NIV. I love this version. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And some versions say depart, but it's the same thing. You don't want your kids to walk away from the Lord. And the promise of God's word is that if you train your children in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. So there's just a couple things about that idea of training. It doesn't say teach your kids in the way they should go. It says train your kids in the way they should go. That doesn't mean you shouldn't teach your kids, but there is a big difference. And I think if we just start at the fundamental meaning of the word training, it could help shape for those of you who are just starting to see that your kids might need a little bit of discipline in life. Like, wow, they're not perfect. Training is important. And what training means, it's different than teaching. You know, we can teach our kids, but if you neglect to train them, then whether just by letting go and just kind of not being an in-touch mom or just by indifference or whatever, you can end up allowing them to grow very self-centered and have a life that's really self-willed, which when they get older, think about Jenny Manser walking down that aisle. The man she chose to marry for her life could look very different had Paula not taken that time to really shape and train Jenny to really be thoughtful so that her life would not be her choice for her husband even. Would not be one that was based on self-will or self-centeredness, but putting God into that. It makes a huge difference on that entire trajectory of a person's life. So that's what you want for your kids. So we can train our children to wait until we give the command, you know, 2, 3, 4 times as a mom. You can train your kids to know that. Or you can raise your voice and then have them respond. Or you can threaten them and then have them respond. Or you can train them to obey immediately. And it's up to us where we determine where that line is. And I remember years ago, Judy saying that to a mom's class that I went to when my kids were really little. And it stuck with me. It was like no one else was in the room. And that was just something that was said to me. And I guess my prayer for you all is that you would grab onto that. You determine what your kids get used to. You are literally training them to understand what it is you want them to do. Whether you think you're an engaged mom or not, if you're not an engaged mom, then you're training them that way. But bottom line is you are training your kids. So you determine which way it is you're going to train them. So does that make sense? Because if that does make sense, then this next part's going to make sense. For me, as a mom of 3 little kids, Brookie was 3 and a half and I had 3 little kiddos. So I really knew when Judy said that in that class, I remember thinking, I have to be the kind of mom that draws the line and early in the voice. I'm not going to say 2 or 3 times for them to do something. My line is you say it one time and then there's, you know, some discipline involved. And to be very thorough and to be very systematic in that. And then also that there were consequences. I was training my kids and I did not want to be the kind of mom that trained my kids to a raised voice or to threats all the time. And empty threats especially, it was really worse. So for me, I just knew that I needed to have a line and I would say it one time. And then if they, you know, passed their little toe past that line, then there was going to be a consequence. So just so you know, when I'm sharing, that's the kind of mom I was. And it sounds really tough and it sounds really rigid, but I think that that's just shenanigans going on in your mind because it's not. Because what that ended up doing for me was that it gave me a household that had order and all the kids had the same rules. And if they all messed up, then they all had discipline. I mean, that just was very simple. It sounds like a simple formula. It actually is. But we're the ones in our minds that can get it all complicated because we're emotional and sensitive and all of that kind of, all the things that make ladies great. It can also be your greatest weakness when you're training your kids. So hopefully what I'm sharing to you today will take out the emotional part and we'll just see what God's word says. And then where it lands is where it needs to land for you. So for me, I just know that I had to draw that line early in order so that we would have a house that was orderly and it just made for a really good day. So training, the actual word training, it's a noun, the noun version of the word training. It means the action of teaching a person or animal, but we're talking about people here, a particular skill or type of behavior. In-service training for staff, for instance, the action of undertaking a course of exercise and diet in preparation for a sporting event. You'll have to go into strict training. Also, cause for mental or physical faculty to be sharp, discerning, or developed as a result of instruction or practice. An alert mind and trained eye give astute evaluations. Another version is to cause a plant to grow in a particular direction or into a required shape. They trained roses over their houses. And you guys know, a lot of you, that I love gardening and whatnot. And I do have plants where I have trained them to look like topiaries. You train. What does that do? You can't just let the plant grow. You know, it'll just grow all over everything and it won't look how you want. You have to take time and take care and look at the details and be tedious. And why would I ever care more about a plant than I would my child? And I would expect you all to agree that, of course, you're going to take that time to train, strict, rigid training. It takes super effort. And you're going to have to, like Judy has said many times, it'll take all the strength that you can muster up in order to carry out that training process. Because it's not for the foolhardy and it's not for the weak. There's a book James Dobson wrote called Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And it's an old book, but you should get it because there are tidbits and nuggets in there that you can grab out of there. And you just know it's like a hug from the Lord giving you encouragement to carry on and to keep on going and that you're on the right track and that you're raising godly kids in an ungodly world. And it's the highest calling, but it's the best calling. But it takes a lot of energy. 1 Samuel 1. If you want to switch over to there, 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to camp out a little bit there. I love this book. It's so sweet. It's so, so very sweet. So this story, you know, Hannah, such a sweet, sweet lady. And she was so sad because she couldn't have kids. So there's the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 11. She says, and she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. And the razor on the head thing has to do with the vow and being a priest and all that stuff. But suffice to say, notice that Hannah didn't even blink that what she willed for her child would come to pass. There was not even a hesitation in her mind. He will do these things. It was not even, not up for grabs. No bargaining, nothing. We're not renegotiating the line. He was going to do those things. He was going to carry out those things. And then in verse 27, it says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked. So now I will give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And that's just a sweet, when you just look at that situation, it's just such a great example. Now when you contrast that, if you flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, just turn the page, you've got this situation where you've got these sons, the wicked sons of Eli, the Bible says. You've got these sons. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. And then look at chapter 23. Verse 23. I'm sorry. We can back up to verse 22. Now Eli, who was very old, Eli was the dad. Heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. So you see that contrast, basically, when you study the life of Hannah and then you study the life of Eli, it's huge. Eli, he neglected to train his sons. And the sad thing is it was horrible for him to hear the report of what his sons were doing. I mean, it caused him great, great grief. So in Proverbs 22, back to Proverbs, so in Proverbs chapter 22, it says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. See, the issue is foolishness. So the world, though, you have to look out. The world thinks foolishness is actually could be something great. You never know what you're creating by this little foolish thing. You know, the world's theories have just gone all over the place in terms of justifying sinful behavior. That's the bottom line. So as Christians, you have to ask yourself, what is it that the Lord's requiring of you as a mom? That's where it starts, in your personal walk with the Lord. You know, what is he calling you to do? What is obedience for you and the Lord, between you and the Lord? And my conclusion is that you do what God's word says. And so God's word makes it very clear. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him is diligent to discipline him. Again, your love for your child and your diligence to discipline and train your child are very connected. And that's something that the world tries to really paint as something that's very opposing. And they're actually not. They're very, very connected. And I have to be so careful. I'm pretty sure most of you know where Brett and I stand on this. Of course, we did spank our kids. But we were very, very careful to never spank when, Brett, absolutely. I think guys, they're able to kind of keep their keel, you know. But me, I know. That's why I'm telling you, my line was short. I had a short leash with my kids because I knew that if I was the mom that said 5 or 6 times to tell them no, 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 there could be a snap that would take place. And I never wanted that to occur with my kids. So it was far, far more safe for our home environment, for me, knowing what my weakness was, knowing that I am a passionate person, whatever stupid stuff the world tries to say. Basically, I can sin and be angry and lose my, you know, blow my top. So I don't want that to happen, but I know I'm human and I know I'm frail. So then God just showed me, I mean, really, here's the boundary for you, for me as a mom. Here's the boundary. So my leash was short. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was good for me because then, you know what? I could talk to my kids in a really calm voice. And people would tell me, man, you're so calm. And my kids, you know, let's not say who, but maybe some of them were being terrible. And I would still stay calm. It's because I had the routine down. I had the calm routine down. And Brett taught me that. And you guys can use your husbands. And for those of you who aren't married, please talk to Pastor James and Angela and go with their covering on disciplining kids. But I'm telling you, the formula, the more simple you keep it, the better off you're going to be. So our basic formula was just in trying to carry out what the Lord, you know, has in driving out that foolishness. You know, our system was, let's just say, I have one boy, so you know it's Joey. Let's just say, Joey, please do not jump on the couch. And, of course, I would turn around. He would be boing, boing, boing on the couch, you know, and I would say, well, Joey, go to your room. That was simple. It was very simple. He would go to his room. He would sit in his little rocking chair. He would then wait, and I would administer the spanking after that. This is something that is so foreign to people because they just cannot imagine that it's not a frenzied house. It's not a crazy house. We're not screaming. People aren't jumping, you know, all over the place. It wasn't like that. We had fun. We had times of fun, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of running around, a lot of fun. But when the fun was done, it was done. And when we were ready to go to the next activity, we went to the next activity. And when it was time to take a nap, we took a nap. I mean, there were not issues with basic routines of the day. There just weren't. And the thing is, the more that the moms get used to just having their routine and having their system in place, the easier it gets. I promise you, the easier it gets. It sounds really hard, especially for those of you who might just have like a little 1-year-old or a little 12-month-old, 13-month-old, 14-month-old. Oh, they're so amazing. But as soon as they start becoming not so amazing, I promise you, this needs to come back in your mind and you need to say, oh yeah, the routine. But that is why when Marna and I first did our classes, we would focus on that first year with the moms and try to remind moms that even though they're sleeping, their basic needs for 1 year old are food, changing their diapers and getting rest and being held. That's your first year, really. It's tedious. It's very exhausting, but that really is your first year. But the beauty of that first year is that you have so much time holding your baby and rocking your baby and talking, singing to your baby, and you have time to pray too. And you have time to ask the Lord, you know, shape my heart for this child and help my ears to be ready to perk up to what it is you want me to do to help direct this child. And what will that be for this personality? And just for your hearts to get so prepared so that then when you're ready to go, it's kind of like the firemen who they hang out, you know, sometimes for weeks in their station. And then all of a sudden there's a big emergency and they have to be ready to go. That's what that first year is about. You can really have a great year because he can train you to just be tuned into the Lord. And then, oh, it's just great, because then when you get that opportunity, when you're on and you're ready for it, you know, then you'll be, and I'll give you an example. For us, Brooke, when she got to be It was before Joey was born. So she was, she was 16 months old when he was born. So she was about 14, 15 months old. She had a big vocabulary. So that's a key too. When your kids are very verbal with you, you totally know that if you're letting them get away with stuff, it's totally your fault. Because when they're verbal, that's it. I mean, once they're verbal, that's all over. You have absolute accountability to make sure you're disciplining that child. So Brookie, we knew she had a lot of words and Joey was going to be born and everything. And we just knew it was time. Brett, I'm telling you, go with what your husband says. I thought it was too early. But he said, nope, we need to show her right now. Now for us, showing her discipline started with certain things that had to do with safety factors. So we had the covers on the plugs, but we would put, you know, keep her safe, you know. But if she went to touch them, we still wanted to teach her that that was unsafe. So you say, no, Brookie, that's how they learn how to say what no is. They don't know what no is. Until then, it's like, oh, you're great. You need a diaper. Oh, you cute little clothes. Oh, a little ribbon for your hair. It's just great. Oh, food. Okay, food, great. Oh, a little bed. Oh, a little hug. Everything's great. Oh, a little nursery rhyme. That's just perfect. That's just great. You're just so perfect. And then they go and kill themselves on the switch because you never told them no. You know what I mean? So that's why that first year, it's good to say no by saying, it's time for bed. And so that means you might cry a little bit. And it's time for your nap. And that's their first no. You haven't said no yet, but that's their first boundary. You know, it's time for the nap, or it's time. Schedules are good. Schedules give you freedom. Schedules are beautiful. So I'm all about schedules. Amen. Yeah, schedules are great. Yeah. So, because if you need a nap, you can take a nap. If you need your house clean, you can get your house clean. It's great. I loved it. It was great. So be free with the schedule. Don't let people say, oh, just let them do whatever they want. That will kill you. That's ridiculous. Ignore all that. Ignore what the world says. So just go with the schedule. It's smart. So anyway, then when they're crawling around and you want to make sure that they don't hurt themselves, then you teach them no to the switch. Now for us, we were really careful because of the, you know, the little wrists and their little bones and all that. So literally, because some ladies don't understand, how do you do this? We didn't just go like this, because that could hurt their wrist. So we held really careful. We made sure there was full support, almost like a splint. My hand would be under her entire arm and her hand. And it was just a simple, you know, two fingers, bam, just a little bit of pain. You got to get them to understand a little bit of pain is much better than getting electrocuted. So safety is a huge issue, okay? But that was her first recognition that there was pain if she didn't follow through with what mommy said or daddy. So then a few months went by and she was walking and it became more evident that with her beautiful, big, I don't know if you guys noticed, Brookie has the longest eyelashes. It's just not fair. She had them when she was little. And I'm telling you, she could bat her eyes at her daddy. Oh my goodness. She would boom, boom, boom. Just cute, you know, bing, bing, bing. And Brett saw right through it, you know, and that was good. And so I remember we had company coming over and this was the moment, you know, because I understood the whole switch, like don't let your child die on the electrical outlets. I got that. But I wasn't sure we were ready for the first spanking. So this is why I'm encouraging you. Go with what your husband says on this. So he says, nope, hon, today's the day. He said, today's the day. So he knew his daughter enough to know that we could position it to where today would be the day she would learn her first boundary. Okay? We were not excited about this, but we knew that he just knew. And if your husband has a leading from the Lord, just go with it. It is not going to hurt your family. It's going to bless your family and it's going to bless you because you're going to feel even more secure that your husband cares enough to be a part of the process. So what happened was there was this little candy dish and we left it out on purpose on this table. All the other kids stuff and everything we had in certain areas of the house. But this one area where we knew we were going to have company, Brett said, you know what? We need to make sure that our kids understand that when there are adults over, we don't cater to the kid. We have to be able to tune into our guests. So that means that candy dish is going to stay out when we have our company. And that means Brooke's going to learn to stay away from it. So what happened was long before the company came, gave her lots of time. He set the candy dish out and he got Brooke over to the table and he said, now Brooke, do not touch the candy dish. She looked at her daddy. Remember those big old lashes? Okay, daddy, you know, think, think, think. And then he walked away and he reminded her again. He said, Brooke, do not touch this dish. She looked at her daddy and then he watched her from the side of the room. She looked at her daddy and she looked at the dish And then she looked at her daddy. She did a couple of blinks. And then she took her little hand, looking at her daddy, and she touched the dish. And so Brett went over and picked her up and said, "It's okay, you're a perfect little child, and I don't need to follow through with what I said." Do you think he said that? No. He went to Brooke, and I will never forget. I mean, here's big Brett, you know, and he picked up little baby, little Brookie, just her cute little self. She was just so little. And I remember in my heart, I was twisted to shreds because I grew up from a family that was on the secular humanistic, you know, just none of that, none of this, but whatever the Bible, that's, we don't even read the Bible. You know what I mean? That's how I grew up. So this was foreign to me. And it was the whole thing about abuse. That's what I saw, you know, as a kid. That's what I was taught. I was spanked one time as a child, and it wasn't in a good situation. It was a totally ludicrous situation. So it wasn't even a good example given to me on the one spank I did get. So that was my background. So I knew that God was challenging me to put to the test my faith in trusting through my husband what the Lord had for our family. Okay, so she puts her hand on that dish, and Brett goes over to her, and he sweeps her up in his big arms, and he takes her, and he says, "Brookie, Daddy told you, do not touch the dish. Daddy loves you very much, but you have to have a spanking." And you know what? You don't have to explain to your child when they're that clear on understanding direction. She knew exactly what it was, and she hadn't even had a spanking before, and she knew exactly what it was. She could tell that she was not anymore in the favor. You know, kids want favor, but sometimes sin, you know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And for that little minute, she thought it would be better to grab that little candy than it would be to face the consequences. The consequences were not in her mind. But quickly, as parents, you know, Brett was right there to sweep her up. And then he fulfilled his promise to her that he would give her a spanking. And she did. She got her little spanking. And you know, when they're little like that, you don't even need to do more than just a couple little spanks because they're so little. And if you'd spank right, the pain factor connects quickly. And then you don't have to spank more than a couple of times. Our general rule was one spank per year of how old the kids were. And that was enough. It just, you know, if you do it right, it's enough. It gets the message across. They understand that there's pain associated with sin. And that's the big thing you want to do, is because the more you can teach your kids that there's pain and sin that are connected. And then afterwards, there's forgiveness and love and redemption and reconciliation and healing. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us, you know. So, of course, you get that little spanking and she's crying. And then Brett always, you know, he showed me in that instant, that's how you do it, is you do the spanking. And then you explain, "I love you very much. But when we say no, that means no." And then there was hugging and praying. And it was good, you know. And she was sad for a minute. But you know what? No more issues with the candy dish. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Now, of course, there's going to be times where once in a while you might get challenged several times on the same issue. But I'm telling you, the rate of learning is greatly increased by the rate of pain. It just is. And it's not something that you love. But if you're wimby pimby, wamby pamby with the spanking, just, you may as well not even do it. Because that's just teaching your kids that you're wimpy and you don't really know what you're doing. And they will turn around and laugh at you. You know, I mean, it just, they will do it. So you have to make sure that you measure your own fear and bring that to the Lord and allow him to shape what it is you're doing, you know. So anyway, moving on. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." And you as moms, when your kids are little right now, it's kind of amazing how much, I mean, it's good because moms encourage each other and that's all really, really good. But it's kind of amazing once you start reading the scriptures and once you start asking the Lord to really bring to light the things about discipline, I think you're going to be amazed at how much enablement there is between mom and moms, you know, because if your kid does something that's kind of ridiculous and you in your heart know it's ridiculous, you don't have to really look very far to get a little bit of, "Oh, that's okay. Aren't they cute at that age? They're so cute." No, they're not cute. It's foolishness, and it's up to you to discipline and to be thorough and to make sure you're following through. You have to be on your guard because it's so quick for you to turn around and just get that little bit of enablement from even other moms. And that's sad because it makes me pit you against each other like you're enemies. Really, no. We're all on the same side, but let's be on God's word. That's the thing, on the side of God's word. So... so that you're working for the same cause and not really undermining what a mom's trying to do. And the same thing can happen with grandmas. So some of you who are grandmas here, please don't undermine your kids' hard work by saying, oh, there's just a little season they're going through. They'll get through it. Don't just say, you know what, mom, I love you so much, but if I don't do this, I'm out of line as a mom. I have to do this. I love my child enough. And you know, that was the message that we had to share with my mom. She at first, she was still a teacher, and many of you who are teachers and have been teachers, you know that there are strict guidelines within the school districts that basically make you mute. I mean, you have no authority. I mean, my mom, I remember story after story of kids coming to her, if she was even going to send a child to the principal's office. One time she even had a kid say, you can't spank me. I know my rights. My mom was a third grade teacher. You know, so kids are smart and they know the system and they know how to work it. You know, so my mom facing legal battles and all this kind of the threat of legal battles and all that, when she saw us actually within our home applying God's word, it sort of blew her mind that actually there were still people who did that. But what was amazing was when Joey came around, and many of you know that Joey had surgery, real serious surgery when he was 3 weeks old. And then again, right around 4 months old. And it made it so that it was kind of hard for me to kick into gear. That first, when he was a year and a half old, he was nice and real, lots of energy and quite healthy. But in your mom, you know, the mama's mind, it's really easy to think, oh, he's still back in intensive care, you know, but he wasn't. He was really, really good and very healthy and doing great. And I not too much longer after around, you know, he was a year and a half old is when I got pregnant with Casey. So my mom came to our house and Joey was being Joey, you know, and Joey without restraint. And my mom looked at me and said, and you're going to have another one like that. And it just cut to my heart because I realized I had been out of order with the way that I had not been taking charge on Joey. And so I looked at mom, and I love my mom, so I'll tell you this because if she was here, I would tell her too. I looked at mom, and in my head, I was thinking, I know that God's promises are true. And if I just grab on, even though it's a little later than it should be, if I just grab on to his promises about discipline, he will help me drive this foolishness from him. So I looked at my mom sort of in faith and I said, mom, I have 9 months, you know, and I thought, this is it. I have got to get with the program, you know. And so I'm telling you, it was like many of you have done this in school where you have a test the night before. So you're cramming. You know, that's kind of what it felt like. I felt like I was cramming. But I got all everything back in order. And by the time Casey was born, Joey was great. He was just great. He was a super good helper, great little boy, and lots of energy. But he had boundaries. You can really do a lot in a short amount of time. But you just have to set your mind to doing it, you know. So anyway, one thing to make sure that you do when you're moving into this area of spanking is ask yourself the question, this is a good litmus test, is this child willfully being disobedient? You know, the story of the candy dish is pretty clear. I mean, Brookie knew, looking at her daddy, looking at the dish, looking at her daddy, she was not dumb. You know, she wanted that candy and she was putting her daddy to the test. That was willful disobedience. There's a huge, huge difference between, you know, mistakenly and very wrongly spanking a child just because they're a child. You know, kids are going to spill their drinks. Kids are going to accidentally wet their little pants. You know, kids are going to, there's a lot of things that kids are going to do that are just being kids. And I would hope that all of us would just look at kids and view them with so much love and just be free to love them. But you love them enough to let them be children. But for you to know that when God has given you a boundary for you as a mom to then fulfill your promise to be that mom that, you know, you want to be and make sure that you are very clear with your consequences and follow through. But it needs to be willful disobedience. I want to make sure and make that really clear. Because spanking's not a joy. It's hard. It's hard. But you don't want to become a cranky mom, you know, and just looking for ways to whip your kids. That's not okay. That's the wrong way. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul, which is so true. It's so great when you get in the routine of allowing discipline to be a part of your day. it's going to take all the strength you can muster up, and you're going to have to be on your guard and have your radar up and be praying throughout the day and asking the Lord, you know, is this significant enough to warrant a spanking? Is this significant enough to draw the line? Where is my line? These are a lot of things that you need to ask the Lord. What is your line? You need to ask your husband, what is our boundary? What does this look like? What do you want our home to look like? That's a very important thing for you to ask your husband. Really, what do you want our home to look like when you come home from work? And then that's your goal. You know, there's a lot of goals we make in life that in the end don't really matter. A lot of stuff gets sent to Goodwill at the end of your life. You know, we're experiencing that in our family right now. Brett's grandfather is 90 years old and just got moved into a little assisted living. And there's a lot of stuff left at his house that doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You know, it just, it doesn't matter. What matters is the heritage that that family has in the Lord. And the consistency to walk with the Lord and to have forgiveness and to be able to follow through and to have a good character and to have a name, you know, that means something at the end of your life. Those things matter. And you can help develop that in your kids right now when they're little. And it's going to bring you peace and it'll be a delight to your soul. Proverbs 29, verse 25. I felt like I wanted to, like the Lord was saying, just remind the ladies about this. I don't know if I said that correctly. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I just, when I was praying about today, I just thought, boy, Lord, I wonder if the ladies are tuned into how much the world is trying to affect the way you think about being a mom and being a wife even, you know, and just for you to clearly be able to have that confidence and strength to look right back in those things that are going to tear you down and just have the fear of the Lord and not the fear of man in your heart and in your mind, because that's going to really help you to follow through on those things God's calling you to do. If you have the fear of man, it's a snare, and nobody really likes what the word snare means, you know. Hunger Games is really popular right now, and my daughter Casey was swept away just like so many teenagers. But there is this part in the book where this sweet little girl gets caught in this net, and it's horrible and it's sad, and she's made to be this victim, you know, and it's the way it is in the book. I don't want to give it away, but it's just so sad, you know, and you think, man, you know, that's, there was a trap waiting for that little girl in that book. And you kind of think, how many times do we as moms get caught in that same kind of trap? And it ends up killing us. It ends up taking a part of what we could have had. We could have had freedom and lived a full life. And you are moms who are beautiful, and you all have talent and gifts and great things to give. Just like in that book, The Hunger Games, this little sweet girl was a blessing to her whole community. Her little voice blessed people. This is like you as moms. You can bless people with what God's given you. But if you get caught in that snare, it could thwart what it is God has for your life. So you just want to be encouraged in the Lord to have the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. And then that's going to keep you safe. Trusting in the Lord will keep you safe. It doesn't mean that your daily decisions are going to be easy, and it certainly doesn't mean that you're not going to be on empty in your strength tank. You're going to get down to low sometimes, you know, but you're still safe. When you trust in the Lord, He is going to definitely come through and keep you safe. And then finally, in 3 John, verse 4, it says, I have no greater love than to hear my children walk in truth. And I know, and you know, that that's really the end goal. You want your kids to be able to walk in the truth. And I can't, I mean, I guess as we're getting close to Mother's Day, I just can't emphasize more than what I can do right now. What you're doing right now is so important in your little kid's life. You're teaching them how to walk in truth. And that's something that the world thinks is up for debate. There is no truth. There's no absolute truth according to the world. But I just want to encourage you to have your radar up and to be praying and to ask the Lord to give you that insight and wisdom to continue to teach your kids how to walk in the truth. And going back to that very first verse, that when you train your kids up in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. The beauty of training is that you get used to a routine and a pattern of training. And some of you are real athletes and know what real serious training is. And those people that train like that, they look at people who aren't in training and, well, the non-humble athletes do this. You know, these people are all weak. When you're that competitive, when you're in that much of a routine of training, it's just not even an option. You train and you train and you train, and you, every single thing you do is focused on that goal of training because you have a competition to do, or you have, and you know, what does Paul say? He says, I press on towards that goal. I have that prize ahead. It's the same idea. You want to, as you're mothering, you want to understand that there's a prize ahead. Someday you're going to see the Lord. You know, and that should be your motivation, that you're teaching your kids how to walk in the truth. You're training them minute by minute. You're training them. And you just, you want to be humble, not like the non-humble athletes, but you just want to take it serious, to train at a level of excellence where there's no compromise. And that's where you get your fruit. That's where it all comes down. So be encouraged. And I hope that this answered some of those maybe questions. And oh, okay. Judy says, maybe you have some questions. Does anyone have any questions for today? Oh, there's one. Oh, that's easy. Tantrums are easy. Everybody gets flipped out about tantrums. Tantrums are no problema. So I remember going to the pediatrician, and right around, I think the one-year checkup was our sweet, great pediatrician. Literally birthed, I think, about 50,000 kids in Southern Oregon. I mean, he was a very well-known pediatrician, and he was great, and he had 5 kids himself. But ironically, never saw those kids because he lived his life in the office. So the real one that should have been doing the mother counseling was the mother of the doctor, you know, because she's the one that really raised those kids. But I remember he said at 1 year, he said, well, congratulations, you made it through the 1 year. Now all you have to do is make sure she doesn't kill herself, because as you know, between 1 and 3, they're everywhere. They're in everything, and they get into everything and poison and all that kind of stuff. So you have to change all the stuff, put it up on the high counters. So then around 2 years old, I remember the visit was, well, now you're going to see some tantrums, but just, you know, let them do it and let them flail, because then they'll grow out of it, you know. And I remember distinctly thinking, are you kidding me? Because I was holding a child, in a baby, in my arms, who just got out of surgery, while I'm having that 2-year checkup. You know what I'm saying? So there was no way in the world that I knew I was going to be able to tolerate. So I was on it for, you know, the tantrums. I was all over. And so, like I told you, when Brookie was, you know, 14, 15 months, she'd already had that spanking. So she really clearly understood what a spanking was. So we had our, I have told you guys this before, they're called happy talks, where you sit your kids down on the couch, it's all on a good day. You don't do this on a bad day. You do this on a good day. Everybody's happy. They're having some cookies, some milk. Everything's good. We're all good. Everybody's happy and good. You sit down on the couch. You're going to have a movie or something like that. It's going to be fun, right? And so you explain what the rules are. So thinking ahead, smart mom like you, you're thinking ahead. We know down the road it's going to be some tantrums probably. So very simple. You sit your kiddos down. Now, we are not going to lose our temper. And if we lose our temper, we're going to have a spanking. No problem. They'll always not. Yeah, okay. So then they're going to test you, though. Okay. So when the test came, sure enough, everybody knows what the tantrum looks like. It's very simple. They're down on the ground. They look like they're having a seizure, but they're not. And there's a lot of loud noises coming out of their mouth. That is a tantrum. Okay. So very clear. Very clear. This is not going to happen in my house. I told you, I already had a little infant, you know. And so pick Brookie up. Brookie, you will not have a temper tantrum. They don't continue to scream. When you look at them and they're that bold, and they might scream, if you continue to have a temper tantrum, mommy is going to spank your bottom. If they continue to scream, then you say, well, now we're going to go have a spanking. You've chosen a spank. I always really tried as much as I could to make sure they understood it was their choice. You can have a good day or you can have a bad day. You can be thankful or you can be spoiled. You can have a spanking or you can obey. I mean, it was just, you know, you have a choice. I think that's very, very good to teach kids that. You know, because in life, that's what it is. When you wake up in the morning, you know, you determine, you choose this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. You choose. So you know, discipline is a part of a choice. So that's how we handled spankings. And then we had fun with it too. I have told you guys that I utilized Disney. Walt Disney, I love him. If he is in heaven, I will thank you for Beauty and the Beast. Because there's this little beast, there's, for some reason, our kids loved Beauty and the Beast, which is hilarious because later my kids end up being in the musical Beauty and the Beast. Ricky was the wardrobe and Joey played Gaston and it was just hilarious. But as kids, we would watch that. That was a real treat for them to watch Beauty and the Beast. And they loved all the characters. Well, when Joey got to be temper tantrum age, for whatever reason, he really loved Beauty and the Beast. And he just thought it was the funniest thing that the Beast had a temper. He just thought that was funny. And he was right around temper tantrum age himself. So what happened was, is Joey tried to have his temper tantrum. So we did the whole thing, Joey, you will stop, you know, what I just told you. We did that. Now, kids sometimes will continue to try to have their little tempers. So the Lord helped me to just have a simple, kind of fun way to identify. Joey is a visual person. He identifies, you know, some kids learn with pictures better than they learn, you know, with hands-on and stuff like that. So it just happened to be, there's this part in Beauty and the Beast where the beast kind of flips out and all of the little creatures, they look at him and they say, "You must control your temper," like that. Well, that became our catchphrase in our house. We, if our kids even edged towards, and it was funny because Brookie caught on and she would say it with us too, Joey, "You must control your temper," like that. And it just made it a little more comical. He would, it got him to laugh about it so much that he just forgot that he was, you know, leaning towards going in this way and he just forgot about it and then went on. So there's other tools too you can use. You don't always have to be, you know, spank crazy, you know, mom. And we're really hoping that you will not be that way, that there will always be a method, that it will be very calm, that it will be a determination in your mind. It's not some haphazard thing. But the Lord can also show you kind of comical ways to get your kids distracted. Distractions are a great measure and a great tool to use to help your kids. They can forget about it. You know, kids can just forget. And all of a sudden, they are all of a sudden having fun, you know, and then they realize, oh, I'm actually having fun doing what mommy told me to do. And then they forget that they were kind of moving in the direction that was bad. So there's lots of ways, you know, to handle it. But that was our method. Navigate that. Okay, so this, I have to totally give credit to Brett's mom because she had three kids a year apart. So she had, I mean, that's competitive. And those kids are strong personalities. I mean, Tammy, Brett, and Jenny are three very talented people and strong personalities. They all are they're smart and they're very capable. So that can be the greatest thing in the world if they learn how to get along, or it could be the worst thing in the world, you know. Now, in my family, my brother was six years older than I was. And then when my dad got remarried, there were two more kids from that marriage at 8 years and 10 years younger than me. So I didn't really have that dynamic. And I just kind of viewed siblings as, you know, like not something that you had to deal with. I was almost more like an only child kind of, you know. So again, I really relied heavily on how Brett had been taught. And Brett told me straight on, and Brenda was amazing in saying, you can teach your kids to get along. You can teach your kids to be nice to each other. And then, remember, I didn't come from a spanking background. So I would say, and how are you supposed to do that? And she said, well, you tell them to get along, and if they don't do it, you spank their bottoms, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, no, what's that mean? You know, and then I would ask Brett, you know, really, no, seriously, what does that look like? But what it really came down to, we would have, you know, sometimes reminder talks in the morning. This is what we need to look, you know, the day needs to look like this, you know, and talk kindly, say please and thank you. It's the little tiny little things of teaching your kids along the way as they go. And reminding those kids, training them. And then that's why then they know they're not supposed to act that way. And so then when there's consequences, they totally understand that they cross that line and then there's a consequence for it. But you can nurture and like you said, but also allow them to be themselves and to develop their strengths, but they always need to be allies. And that was the sweetest thing I think about seeing, Tammy, Brett and Jenny. They were good buddies. I mean, it was the sweetest thing for me to be able to move into that family and see three awesome friends. And they each appreciated each other's strengths. but they didn't play off those in a negative way. They used those strengths, and it's been a huge blessing. So if you have kids that are, closer together like that, and that's an issue, I would just really encourage you to ask the Lord to show you how to intervene on that and make it so that you're all part of a team and that you're on the same side and that at the end of the day, there's forgiveness. You know, a lot of times I remember specifically because Brenda told me that doesn't mean that it worked out perfect. You know, I still had challenges and I remember lining up Brookie and Joey. They would, boys grow sometimes when they're that close in age, they can be the same height real quick because boys grow sometimes faster and get taller and stuff. So I remember them eye to eye lining them up and making them look at each other and say, I'm sorry, even if I knew they didn't mean it. But it made them verbalize it. This is 2, 3 years old, you know. Now you look at your brother and you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, Joey, you look at your sister and say, I forgive you. I forgive you, you know. And we made them do that. It was like a routine. If there were issues where they weren't getting along, it was. And the other thing, too, that's interesting about kids is that they'll flow in and out of playing with each other. You know, sometimes they'll go towards the older one, and then sometimes the younger one looks more fun to play with, and so they'll do that. So then there can be those issues, too. Like, you know, so there's always issues. You're never going to be bored. That's the part. That's the good part. Never bored. But there's always solutions. I think with the Lord, that's the good thing, you know. And the point is, just going back to the Proverbs that we shared today, you know, you're consistently having that pattern of training. So then it appears, I think that's part of maturity, is that the foolishness drops off. You know, it just drops off with time. But, I mean, the Lord can help you to get that very clearly as a mark for your goal. It's good. Are there any other questions? Oh, yeah. I remember that. So it is funny. Sometimes boys can do this, but I think a lot of times there is a distinguished difference between a girl's demeanor and a boy's demeanor. I mean, I do think in the end it's the way that they're wired, you know. I mean, boys end up, most boys, I don't want to say all boys, but most boys have a bent towards being tough and, you know, if they fall down, they get up, you know. Girls have a bent, and I think it's a God-given thing. Their sensitivity is stronger. And I think that that's a great thing. That's a good thing because, you want them to be good, sweet mommies who love their kids and are willing to give up their life for their child. That is a great thing. But like you're saying, you see that if you don't control it, if you allow something to become the center of their little universe, such as an attitude, you know, then they will cater to that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is they will take it as far as you will let it go, you know. So I remember distinctly thinking that boys were almost easier than girls were because boys are so completely black and white. You know, I gave you the example of the couch. My girls did not want to jump on a couch. They didn't care, you know, but boys, physical boys, they want to be active and running around. And, you know, they give you the clear mark, you know, don't do this. They do it. You give them a space. It's very simple. It's almost more math, which is great. For girls, it is interesting, and some guys, but a lot of times it's the girls. They can give this sort of emotional appeal that really has nothing to do with what it is you're asking them to do. And I remember that was a huge struggle for me. It was a big, big, big struggle for me. But the thing that saved me was that I was the Lord. But I mean, I remember praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do I do? Because I feel like I'm kind of being whipped on this, you know. But I think the Lord, for my boundary, for my girls, you know, was I pictured that behavior with their future husband, and would that look very good? Because it's not really very hard to take a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4-year-old's whining and all this and turn it into what it looks like as an adult. It looks like a wife who's manipulative, who is not submissive, who is not willing to go with the flow in the family, who wants to continually redraw the lines and get what she wants and is not willing to get behind her husband. Those are all things I don't want for my girls. I want them to really understand that they need to respect and appreciate the leadership of their future husband. So then why wouldn't I expect that the same for me as a mom? And then it became a little easier because then I realized, you know what? If they need to have a grateful attitude, then they do need to have a grateful, and maybe even get a spanking for having a demeanor that's really selfish, you know. You know what? There's an awesome book that maybe some of you would want to read. It's by George MacDonald, and it's called The Wise Woman. And it's a book, you know, it's like a fantasy book or whatever. I say that only because that's how it's classified. That is not how it reads. George MacDonald, you cannot read a book by George MacDonald and not grow spiritually. You absolutely will grow spiritually. But the premise of this book is that there is this spoiled little girl. And I love the way George MacDonald says it. He describes the little girl. And one of the things he says is that, and she thought she was somebody. And it's a capital S. And I absolutely love that. Because to me, if every mom could see in her mind that they're raising a child who thinks they're a somebody with a capital S, and then what you see happens in that girl and how that girl ends up being broken and in her heart, what the breaking process that takes place, it's totally a picture of us as human beings. The Lord will convict you in that book, but he, I think, will also give you a real clear picture of what you don't want to allow your kids to do. And it was the saddest thing in the world because it was actually a king and queen's daughter. And that girl had to go through a whole lot in order to be turned into what would actually be truly a daughter of the king. I mean, it was, you know, it's just a beautiful story. And it's just a quick read. It's like 100 pages, but it's so, so sweet. I would suggest it just because even if you have 5 minutes at night, you know, before you go to sleep and you want to get your mind off what happened, it's an awesome, it's an edifying book. It's really encouraging. But I think that will help to explain what I'm doing a terrible job of explaining because I'm not George MacDonald or C.S. Lewis or anyone else amazing. It's called The Wise Woman. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, that's the big thing. That's what I was trying to get at. When you see it when they're little, just multiply it by about 1,000, and that's how it is when they're adults. And what Judy's saying is, if you don't address it when they're little, then it does become a pattern of behavior. There are a lot of things that I think pain is happening to people that had it been addressed as young children, they could have avoided that pain. And again, in Proverbs, I mean, I think we laid it out. If you just read a proverb every day, the Lord, you're going to get hit with great scriptures, and the Lord will start to show this in your mind, and you'll be feeling so strong about the conviction to make sure discipline is part of your kid's life. But the pain is avoided, actually, by discipline. The world tries to make you convinced that, oh, you're putting pain on your child by spanking. No, that is not true. You are helping this child avoid pain. And part of the thing about self-will, I mean, let's just take a burglar, for instance. You know, what's happening with a person who thinks that they should steal? You know, and worse, to kill or be violent. Let's just think about that. Bottom line is they're not trusting the Lord for their provision. So as little children, you know, when they want that cookie and you just give in and give it to them every time, you are teaching them that pattern that they can have whatever they want. There's actually great things that happen in a person's life when they have to be patient and don't get what they want every time. And you know this because you're adults and the Lord's helping you. But these little kids don't have that. They are empty slates, and you're the ones that are helping to put that pattern into their mind of what is a godly way to look at things, a godly view to look at things. And it's so awesome because you're going to help them not have to go through so much tragedy, you know, just by, you never know what that simple correction you're going to do in your child's life. You never know how that could affect them 25 years, 35 years down the road. You know, you just never do. You never know. Are there any other questions? Oh, we'll take you. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, the Bible talks about anger, you know, and there is a righteous anger. I mean, the Bible says we should be angry about sin. You know, we should be angry that there's all these millions of babies who have been aborted. That should make us feel angry, you know. Jesus turned the tables because there was basically abuse going on, you know. There's a right anger and there's a place for it. But I would say 99.9% of the time, kids do not have a clue about righteous anger, and that's not necessarily what they're being angry about. Usually a child's angry because they didn't get their way, usually. Now, there are some kids who have an awesome pulse on something not being just, and that's different. I think kids do get upset when there's not justice, you know? However, a lot of times, it's motivated because the justice wasn't for them. Do you know what I'm saying? So again, it gets back to the self-will and the self-centeredness and all of that. So all that to say, if you truly do feel like your child, you know, has this righteous anger, and there are occasionally, there are those kids who see that maybe there's not something that's fair. You know, maybe they'll see something in a movie or something and think, that's just not fair that that should have happened. And that's a sweet thing. And that, I think, is a teachable moment. You know, we have used current events and cultural things all the time in our kids' lives to help show what would be godly behavior in that situation, or how that certain situation is godly behavior versus how it might not be. Does that make sense? So if it's a teachable moment and if there's not correction needed, then it's a great tool, because then you actually, maybe there is something in your child's little heart that's needing to be developed. You know, maybe there's something that he's really needing to pray about. And because I think little kids can have huge hearts for the Lord. So if that's something that's happening in your child's life, and maybe you're needing to direct that and help them learn how to bring something to the Lord, and maybe it's an effect of trusting in the Lord. Maybe that's the outcome, you know, that there might be something that God's doing in that little heart. And anger is the tool that's being used to chip away and get at that nugget of what it is that you as a mom are the one that's going to discern that. So does that make sense? But by and large, if it's anger just because there's self-will or self-motivation, it does need to be viewed as sin. I mean, the Bible, you're not supposed to, you know, let the sun go down on your anger. And there's a ton of verses about anger. And that, does that help a little bit to give you a clear vision, hopefully? If not, you can ask me later more. I did a bad job. Okay. Are there more questions? Oh, yeah. Okay, so again, going back to when there's clear evidence in your child's life that they are very thorough in understanding and communicating, okay, meaning you know you have clearance to spank, it becomes a choice, okay? So, of course, none of my kids ever lied, you know. They were perfect and honest and always above reproach in everything they did. But let's just say someone else's child lied, okay? It would be very easy to say, because sometimes, you know. Okay, I'll just say. Brett a million times has said that we could always tell when Joey was lying because he would put his tongue in his cheek and then try to tell us. We knew. We just knew. He didn't know we knew, but we knew, you know. So it was very easy to say, Joey, if you tell the truth, you will not get a spanking. And then they would tell the truth because they don't want a spanking, you know. And then they're learning that there is a reward for doing the right thing, you know. So that's one way to deal with it. Sometimes, though, there might be something worse, you know, that actually was so bad that, you know, because it had other things attached to that lie. So then it gets a little bit more complicated. But just in the general, how to train them away from lying, that for us, that was really a good tool. And there again, if we didn't use spanking in a as a measurable way for them to understand pain associated with that sin, if they didn't have any knowledge of that, that would have been useless for us, you know. So does that make sense? A little bit? Are there any other questions? Oh, yeah, Mindy. That's when you say, Ian, can you help me with it? No. There's a lot of times where kids are so smart and you know they're outwitting. It's like they know how to play survivor, you know, outwit at last, outplay, you know, and they're doing that to you, you know. And the key is you need to be the survivor that wins at the end of the game, you know. So sometimes you have to say, Lord, it was not clear enough for me to catch it. So help me to catch them, you know, and because you don't want, I mean, obviously you don't want to just spank when it's not necessary. We always made sure it was very clear that there was an infraction, but man, you know, teaching the Ten Commandments is a great thing. And then that's another thing. Your kids can learn the Ten Commandments young, you know, very young. They don't have to know how to read. They can just say it. And that helps because then that is your rules. You know, lying, if they lie, what does the Bible say about not lying? And they can go through and tell you, you know. And if they take something from their sibling, say, let's go through the Ten Commandments. What does the Bible say? That's called coveting. So we don't do that. You know, the Lord will reward you and bless you. And you can be okay with what you have. You don't have to take. And what does the Bible say about stealing? You don't have to take your, you know, there's so many things you can bounce off the Ten Commandments, but that's just a way too. It's hard though. Kids are smart, way smarter than we think. Mm-hmm. Well, remember the happy talk? Yeah. Yeah. So when it was time to do the Ten Commandments, we said, now we're going to learn the Ten Commandments, you know. But because there had already been instances, you know, I mean, I'd have to go back and look. It's funny, when I go and look at the photo albums that I have, I have lots of photo albums from that time, and I can remember the different phases that we went through. But I do remember it made it easy to address the situation as being something that was from God's Word. Mm-hmm. Oh, make it clear for you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think that, I love the Ten Commandments because it's black and white for that. Yes, it takes away the emotion. Yes, it does. Yep. And And see, here's the thing. And that goes back to the issue of like the emotion for the girls. Because if they're coveting, that's a whiner. That is, I mean, you know, all that. Forget it. You know, what does the Ten Commandments say about that? That helps keep the emotions in check. There's a lot of good guidance that comes just from the Ten Commandments that, I think it makes it very clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Disrespect, danger, and defiance. Yeah. And I think Elisa and Paula shared that in their classes initially. But that's really good, too. That's why I shared the thing about the light switch or the electrical outlet, because that's danger. Running out in the street is danger. You know, you just don't want to have your kids ever get in a situation where they're put in peril. And then disobedience and, yeah, disrespect. 3 Ds. It works. Is that right? Those three? Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. Start spanking? Oh, phase out. Well, let me tell you about the Star Wars short story. Okay. In our situation, it was very apparent when my days were done as far as spanking. And that was, we didn't say, we are not going to spank our kids past age blank. But there is an issue of humiliation and embarrassment that you want to look out for. However, there also is an issue of you being able to save face as a parent. So you don't want to sit there and tell your kids, not to get political, but this is kind of the same thing as saying, we're going to pull out Afghanistan in 3 weeks. You lose face if you don't do what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? And it takes away your cards for playing. You know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? So as a mom, for you to say, oh, and P.S., we're not going to spank you after age 10. That's so dumb to do that, because kids are really smart and they will say, okay, I'll be good. Age 11, look out, you know, because you know what I mean? So that there, you have to keep that in mind. But just on a daily practical day in, let's just say there is no end. There is no age limit. Okay. But Brett had left to go to Israel, and I knew that I was going to have to be the one in charge, you know. And we used to tell our kids our backup was Jeff Young or James Shields. So, kids, you know, while I'm gone, mommy's the one, you know. So if you guys, and Brett and I were always a tag team, so whatever I said during the day, as they got older and it was a little tougher for me to implement the spankings, he knew that he was going to answer to dad. Okay. But the big thing that happened, and I think it was second or third grade, and really Joey could actually tell you exactly what it was, because we remember this. It was actually so hilarious. But it's only because we have a good relationship and we have good communication and we have not abused, you know, what God really has given us as a privilege in spanking. You know, it hasn't been abused. So our kids don't look at it as anything other than the best tool that was used in their life to give them those boundaries. So I say all that, you know, first to say that there's a good background. So Joey had done something really, you know, bad that constituted a spanking. And it was just during the day. Brett wasn't home, so I was the one that was going to give it. And so I went to give him his spanking. Well, he, I think, was wearing too thick of pants or something like that, jeans or something. And I tried with all my might to give a really good, hearty spanking. And Joey tried with all his might to act like he felt it, you know? So I sat him down, and I had the whole talk. And this was a repeated pattern. It was always the same talk. Joey, do you know what happened? Any of my kids, I would ask them, do you know what happened? Joey's the one that's on the chopping block right now. So, do you know what you did? Yes. Can you tell me what you did? Because now they're older. When they're littler, sometimes they can't exactly say what they did, but so you have to explain it. But when they're older, you know, do you know what you did? Yes. Can you explain what you did? Do you know why that's wrong? Do you know what the Bible says about what that's wrong? And so, you know, would God have you act this way or this way? Did you act this way? No. So what's the consequence? A spank. So that's the pattern, okay? So go to give him a spanking. He does this crazy fake cry, right? And he's trying really hard to act like it hurt, you know? And I looked at him and he looked at me and he literally went and started looking at me laughing. And the problem was, is that it was so funny that I also kind of started chuckling. And then he looked at me and he went, like that, because he knew. I said, you know what this means now, don't you, Joey? And he said, what? And I said, Dad's going to be the only one to spank you from now on. And he went, like that, because he realized that it was totally a bad, like, he did not outwit and outlast and outplay on that move. You know, that was not good strategy that he did, because Dad's spankings way hit home more than what my mom's ever did, you know. So it's just funny. And, you know, guys and little girls will do that kind of stuff. You know, they'll just try to play it out for as long as they can. But, you know, we call this cards. So from that moment on, Brett was the primary one, you know, until Brett had to go to Israel on this trip. And I knew I had to be the one to speak. So I had to set Joey up, really, so that the authority, he would understand, you know, that what mom said goes. So I had this whole fun thing going on at that time. We would have movie night up in our room, and we had a big king-size bed. So the kids would plop on there, and I had popcorn and snacks. And it was just going to be a blast, you know, and it truly was going to be a blast. But I thought, it's the first night Brett's gone. My choice is we either set the tone and make it be a really easy 2 weeks, or else I am going to struggle, because that's just the nature of how it is with kids. Once they know they've got you, then they can wear you down. You know what I mean? And kids are great, but they're brilliant, you know? So you've got to be three times as strong, or four times, depending on how many kids you have. That's how much extra brain power you have to have on at all times, you know? So I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to set it up. Just everything's going to be good. So I had the kids, and I knew I had to go downstairs and get something else for them. And so I said, okay, kids, now no bouncing on the bed. No jumping on the bed. And then I totally knew that somebody, maybe Joey, was going to jump on the bed. And so I just waited outside the door. It only took 10 seconds. I turned around, Joey, bang, boing, boing. And I said, Joey, go to your room. And he absolutely knew it was to go and get a spanking. So he jumped off the bed. He flew into his room. Now, keep in mind that I needed to save face and make the spanking worth it. So I knew that the previous, that, you know, I had already lost. So I said to him, I got this brilliant idea. Thank you, Lord. Change into your Star Wars shorts. Now, these were a particular pair of shorts that they had Jar Jar Binks on them. And he loved these shorts. He wore them all the time. There's pictures when he was a little boy. And he loved those Jar Jar Binks shorts, this crazy tie-dyed shirt, and these rubber boots. You know, like, that was his main outfit that he would wear all the time. He just loved it. So I had him change into those Jar Jar Binks, because they were paper thin cloth, you know. And that was perfect, because it was a home run spanking. I mean, he felt that spanking. We had the whole makeup and have, you know, redemption, and everything. We were all good and everything. But it, perfect 2 weeks while Brett was gone. So you have to, you know, each phase, each age, everything, there's so many different variables. But does that kind of help a little bit? See, we never did bare bottom. And the reason why we never did bare bottom is because we just felt like we wanted to remove any sort of misconceptions that there was shame or anything to be associated with that. We always wanted to remove all of that. But so when they were in diapers, it was just real easy. I just moved the little diaper up a little bit, and then there was skin right there, but they kept their diaper on. Do not spank through a diaper. That is dumb. You may as well have them spank through a mattress, you know? I mean, you know, that's just silly. There's so much filler on there that it's worthless. That's just a silly, set your kids up to just hate the whole process. You know, that's just dumb. So we did, there was skin, you know, but we always kept them covered like that. Yeah. 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 We did those Jar Jar Binks, I'm telling you, Jar Jar Binks underwear, shorts, things. They look like little boxers or whatever. Something that they think is cool to wear. So they're okay with it. I had them change. I mean, when they're older, we're talking, you guys, first, second, third grade, like that. Yeah, I had them change their clothes. I mean, it was a process. Spanking was a process. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. See, because you have to get the point across, and if you don't get the point across, you may as well not do it, because it's just creating all this. It's just the wrong thing, you know. But when they know, see, part of the thing too, and this is something that's important to remember, part of what you're teaching your kids to do really is to own up to the responsibility of their own actions, that there are consequences. And if we don't teach our kids that,
then they're just going to have a crummy time as adults. You know, we have a huge problem in this country right now of people feeling like they are enabled enough to get whatever they want, and it's somebody else's problem to pay for it. And it's just a huge thing to teach our kids as early as possible that the actions and the consequences are very connected. So, I think it's great. You know, you just keep it up. Yeah. Okay, so it's 11 o'clock, and Judy, do you want to come pray? Wouldn't that be great?
I guess I didn't have to come up on the stage. Father, we do just come to you now thanking you for this time that you gave us this morning, and that you would have even blessed us with this opportunity for a question and answer period as well, because I know that so many gals do just desire that input, and I thank you for the wisdom you've given Debbie, for the responses she had, Lord, and I just pray that there is clarity for those who are asking the questions. Lord, we so desire to do what you have called us to do, and to do it well, and we know apart from your Holy Spirit, Lord, we would truly just fail miserably. But you have given us your Holy Spirit, and you have given us the anointing, Lord, to be the parents, the authority in our kids' lives that you want us to be. So let us always look to you and count on what you will help us to do and to do well. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our families, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just one quick thing, that book. It's an old book, so it's going to be hard to find, but you can find it through, Sunlight Curriculum. I don't know if you guys know about that, but it's easy to go online and order the book through them. It's like $5, the book. It's paperback, just so you know. So it's Sonlight, sunlight.com, I think. Hopefully that helps. Have a great day.